The radiance of the sun. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs.
The rule of the sun. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and the branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. And the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people, from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea.
The announcement of the sun. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The worship of the Son. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
The naming of the Son. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus.
Christmas is the time for love. At least that's what my bank is telling me. They've released a little Christmas video. And if you haven't seen the video, it's very catchy. Here's the story. A little hedgehog, which in German is an eagle, not a Stachelschwein, like I said last night. A little hedgehog has his first day at a new school. And the other animals laugh at him. They exclude him. Because this hedgehog is different. He tries to play football, but because of his spikes, the ball is popped. He wants to sit next to his friends, or his hopefully future friends, on the school bus. But because of his spikes, no one wants to sit next to him. And when one squirrel does take pity on him and does dare to sit next to him, the bus breaks and the hedgehog is thrown against her and hurts her with his spikes. One winter afternoon, a few months on, all the animals look at the hedgehog and whisper together and then leave the classroom without him. And so, sad and alone, unable to make any friends, the hedgehog gets up to go home. But outside, the animals are waiting for him with a present. And so, excited, the hedgehog unwraps the present and throws all the styrofoam packing pellets to one side, and then is confused because the box is empty. Confused, he looks up, where's the present? But the present is the styrofoam. The animals put the styrofoam on all the hedgehog's spikes and then gather together and give him a group hug. The video ends by saying, believe in love, believe in Christmas, believe in yourself. That video, as of last night, had been watched over 36 million times on Facebook. Clearly, it connects with us. We all want to believe in love. But where are we going to find a love worth admiring? Where are we going to find a love worth believing in? Where do you look for that type of love? The video says, believe in yourself, that's the place to look. But if we're honest, we've been trying that all year, and it hasn't done us much good. Now, you know what happens. If you succeed, then you become overconfident and proud. Not much fun to be around. And if we fail, then we despair, we retreat. And the thing is, believing in ourselves isn't going to work any better in 2019 than it did in 2018. So where will you find love this Christmas? Well, love isn't an abstract thing to be discovered. Love is a person who makes himself known. The Bible says that as God's Son, Jesus has always lived in his Father's love. Jesus is the love of God. And so Christmas isn't about us being lovely, but about love coming down to us, love coming down to a dark and cold world. And so if you want to know what true love looks like this Christmas, don't look in the mirror. Look in the manger. Look at Jesus. And as you look at Jesus, you'll see God's love for us and God's love with us. And those are the two things I want us to briefly consider for a few moments. Firstly, love for us. What does that mean, that Jesus is God's love for us? Well, love does for us what we cannot do ourselves. That's the heart of the hedgehog film, isn't it? The hedgehog is stuck with his spikes. He can't change them. He can't do anything about them. But the squirrel and the other animals take pity on him. They do for him what he cannot do himself. They put the styrofoam on his spikes. And the hedgehog's problems are pretty easy to identify with, aren't they? Loneliness, rejection, spikiness,
People say we've never been so connected online, and yet never so alone, so isolated, so divided. Some social commentators say that loneliness is the new common cold. And when we do meet up with other people, we find ourselves distancing ourselves from those who aren't like us, those who think differently to us, those who vote differently. And we group ourselves in little tribes, suspicious and distrusting. And increasingly, as we look around in our society, we don't know how to stay together and we don't know how to be together. Well, Jesus says that all of that relational breakdown that we experience is because our relationship with God is broken. God has created us for himself to be in relationship with him, and yet we have all turned away from him. We've abandoned him. We've tried to do life our own way. And that's what the Bible calls sin. Sin is refusing God's love. And this sin that we have just shows who we really are. At heart, we are strangers to God and strangers to one another. And so just as the hedgehog spikes keep him from relationship with the other animals, so our spikes keep us from God and from one another. That Christmas video said, believe in yourself. But actually, the message of Christmas says love must come down to us. Love must find us. In our last reading that we just heard, an angel says to Mary about her son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that angel is saying that love will do for us what you and I cannot do for ourselves. Love will clean us, change us, turn us back to God. Love doesn't leave us as we are. Love in the person of Jesus Christ removes our angst and our bitterness and teaches us to love. That's what Jesus was born to do. To save us from our sin, to save us from our shame, and to reunite us with God. And the amazing thing is not just that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago in a manger. Even more amazing than that, Jesus was born to die. Because it was only by dying that he could forgive us. Only by being broken that he could give us life and make us whole again. See, friends, Christmas isn't a party for the privileged few, for those who are comfortable, for those who have everything together. Christmas is all about love coming down to those who are outcast, those who are broken, those who are hopeless. And the good news of Christmas is that wherever you know you do not have life altogether, wherever you know yourself to be most broken and fragile, most lonely, most ashamed and most guilty, there is where Jesus is God's love for you. He is love for us. Secondly, he's love with us. That's how the video ends. All the animals gathered around that one poor little hedgehog, hugging him tightly. The hedgehog is no longer alone. He's found friends. And that's what love does, doesn't it? Love brings us together. It creates community. It joins us. And that's what Jesus does. The angel says to Mary that Jesus will save his people from their sins. In other words, Jesus is gathering together a people who know him and have received his love. A people where barriers are broken down. And this community isn't held together by some fragile tolerance. This community is born of love. It's a family with a place for all who believe. And so let me put it to you, if you're sitting there and thinking, well, those are big words, but can you prove them? Here would be my suggestion to you. If you want to see Jesus' love in action this Christmas, visit a church for a month. Visit a church for a month where Jesus is at the centre. Get to know the people there. Watch them interact with each other. Sure, you'll see people sin, just as you would see everywhere. But you should see something different too. You should see there something supernatural. Namely, Christian believers putting each other first. Forgiving each other. Serving each other. Loving each other even when it's costly. And that's Jesus' love with us. Or at least part of it, because there's even more to it than that. In the reading, Matthew says that Jesus' birth fulfill the 700-year-old promise that God had made to the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And God kept his promise to Isaiah in Jesus. In Jesus, God is with us. What does that mean? It means God cares and God knows. Deep down, if I'm honest, it can be easy to think that if there is a God, he has forgotten me. Maybe you know the thought. Deep down, to think that God doesn't truly care. He doesn't know what life's like. He doesn't know how to deal with the pain and stress that follow us. But God does know. Not just as God looking down on us from above, but as God born among us. Born at the bottom. Born to die. You see, in Jesus, God knows life from the inside. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Love with us. Fragile and frightened. Hungry and tired, Jesus was born to share in all of our sadness and all our gladness, all that makes up life here on earth. In Jesus, God knows what it is to cry. He knows what it is to be misunderstood by family, to be rejected by his people and betrayed by his friends. He knows what it is to be scared of death, and he knows what it is to die. He is love with us. And the good news of Christmas and of Jesus himself is that because Jesus did die, because he was abandoned on the cross, you and I can be welcomed back into God's presence. The good news is that if you put your trust in Jesus, if you receive him, he will receive you. And no matter how dark this Christmas or 2019 or any year is, you will always be able to know God is with you if you have Jesus. Why would Jesus do all of this? Why would anyone leave heaven's happiness for life here on earth? Simply and purely because he loves you. He loves me. You will never meet anyone who will go so far and endure so much to do you so much good as Jesus Christ. If you want to know a little more, you should find on a seat near you or on your seat one of these Luke's Gospels. This is an account of Jesus' life, his death and his resurrection written by an eyewitness. Why not take one of these home with you and find out for yourself whether Jesus is a love worth knowing? He is God's love for us. He is God's love with us. Will you believe in him? Will you receive him this Christmas?
The humility of the Son. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
The eternity of the Son. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light, so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on all people. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him. So he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of a human father. God himself was their father. The Word became a human being, and full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. John spoke about him. He cried out, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'He comes after me, but he is greater than I am, because he existed before I was born.' Out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side, has made him known."